I just said, youth be dismissed. My wife's telling me what to do up here. Still ordering me around. I mean, I'm up here, babe. Ezekiel chapter 37. I should get there too. All right. Read with me, please. It says, the hand of the Lord... Don't read out loud. I'll read, but you listen. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. Again he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. And indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. Also he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded, and breath came into them, and they lived. And they stood upon their feet in an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, son of man, these are the bones of the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves. And I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live. And I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you, God, for your word. And we thank you, God, that it's alive, Lord, and it's relevant today, Lord, and we can learn and grow from it, God. God, you speak to us through it, Lord. And God, you have a message for us here this morning, God, and I realize that, God, you want to speak, and I don't want to get in the way of what you want to do, Lord. So I ask that I would be your mouthpiece, that you would fill me with your spirit and use me how you want. God, touch every single life here this morning, Lord. May they hear from you and not from me, God. And thank you once again for Micaiah James Anderson. What a blessing, God. God, we thank you so much for those little children. Bless them, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I titled it, Can These Bones Live? I'm going to place this back here. Can These Bones Live? Have you guys ever watched that show, Fixer Upper? I like that show. It's cool. It's something I always wanted to do, but I don't think I'll ever be able to do it. But anyways, the show is like this. They have a partner, a couple that are buying a new place, and they're going to show them three fixer-uppers, some old trash houses that are old and abandoned in a sense. And they got to pick out of the three, and then they'll fix it up, and they'll be able to live in it. Well, one of the episodes, one of the places I saw, they showed the three different houses, and one of them was just trashed. It was bad. I mean, it needed a wrecking ball. It needed an excavator just to demo it and just destroy it and start again, start new, because this thing was bad. As you looked at it, you walked up, it was like from a horror movie or something. There was trees all overgrown around it, and it was blowing wind. I remember when I seen it, it was old. All the siding was coming off. The windows were broken and dark and dirty. There was like stickers on it, you know, saying like it's, you know, you can't go in there, don't trespass. There was missing, the door were missing, the windows were cracked, the ceiling was leaking and coming apart, and the siding was falling off, the porch looked all messed up. And then you walked inside, the floor is all damaged and halfway up, and some of it's on and scratched and pulled up carpet. The sheetrock's all holes in it and spray painted on it. And then on the ceiling, it's all yellow because there's so many leaks and stuff, and the ceiling's about to come down. Doors were missing, and the hand railing to the stairs were all messed up. And you think, man, this place is gone. Just demolish it and get rid of it. You know, it's not good for anything. It's done. It's old, you know. And I remember the guy, what's his name? Chip goes into the one of the attic and he looks at the frame of the building and he sees the old wood in there. And it was old. The reason why you know it's old, because nowadays there's 2x4s, right? But they're really 1.5 by 3.5. It's not really 2 inches by 4 inches. But back then, when they first started the lumber, and they called it, it was really 2 inches by 4 inches. So that's what this lumber was. So it was an old building, old wood sitting in there. And they begin to put all the pieces back together. They fixed the dry rot. They put sheetrock back on it. They fixed the floors. They fixed the handrails. Put new doors and windows in. Fixed the siding. Fixed the roof. And this house looked brand new. Gorgeous looking house. It looks like it was, you know, they just did it. And yet, months before, it was this old, abandoned, ready to be demoed house. And they fixed it up. And that's the picture here that God is describing about these dry bones there in the valley that he let Ezekiel look at. These old dry bones. And it's a picture, and as he's talking about, the passage is basically talking about the children of Israel, the nation of Israel, in the state they find themselves in right now. They're in captivity in Babylon. And Ezekiel is in captivity as well. And this prophecy that God will restore them, he's prophesying that he's going to restore them, and he's going to bring them back to their land, and he's going to pour his spirit into them. But I also see something else in this passage. And I can relate it to 3 different types of people in this passage. And I want to relate it to 3 different people. And we're going to talk about those 3 different people. The first type of person in this passage is the dry bones. We read there in verses 1 and 2. It says, let's read it again. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. When you think of bones, you think of death. You think of death. Immediately you think death. There's nothing but bones. And there was a lot of them. They were scattered around. This is the vision. This is what Ezekiel's looking at. And he's seeing nothing but death. Bones. Not only were they bones, but they were dry bones. They have been in that condition. They have been in that way, dead, a long time. They've been in that condition for a while, those bones. They've been sitting there because they were dry. There was no moisture in them. There was no flesh on them. They were dry. They were brittle. The sun bleached them probably. They've been sitting there for a while. The picture there is these dry bones are a picture of death. And it's a picture of people without Christ. They are Christians. They are not Christian. They're not saved. And that's the picture here of the first person. And as dry bones, they have been in that condition for a long time. Maybe all their life. All their life, they've been in that condition. They have no want or desire to trust in the Lord or to hear from the Lord. They don't want anything to do with the Lord. They don't want anything to do with God. They don't desire Him. They don't look for Him. As a matter of fact, if you talk to them about the Lord, they become offended. They want you to get away from them. They don't want to hear about God. They just push it away. Dry bones. And as the scripture says, it says that they suppress the truth in unrighteousness. I don't want to have anything to do with God. They're dry. They're dry bones. There is no life in them. Spiritually speaking, they're dead. That's the picture of some people today. And someone might say, you're calling me dead? You're calling me dry bones? Who are you? Look, the Bible says this. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Our sin prevents us from the glory of God, which is heaven. That's the ultimate place everybody wants to go. That's what prevents us from going there. And the problem is sin, it can't enter into the presence of the glory of God, which is heaven. It can't enter into it because God is holy. God is pure. And sin can't come into His presence. And if it's not dealt with, if it's not something done with it, we can't go into it. They're dry bones and it's dead. And the Bible says, because the wages of sin is death. Sin is what produces that death, those dry bones. Sin produces death, and if you don't deal with your sin, you are spiritually dead, dry bones. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2, and we're going to look at the description of what this person looks like, these dry bones. Ephesians is in the New Testament. Go to the right. 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians. If you went to Philippians, you just passed. Ephesians chapter 2, these dry bones. It says there in verse 1, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins. That's where we get the death from. Sins and trespasses, your trespasses and sins is what causes death. The dry bones, the picture we're getting here. Verse 2, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Walking according to the course of this world. You don't know any better, these dry bones. This is the way we're going. This is everybody else is going in this direction, in this course. Everybody's heading down that way, so I don't know any better, so that's the direction I'm going to go. And so they don't know any better, but what they don't know, who's orchestrating, who's kind of leading this whole thing, it says there in the next part of that portion of that scripture, or that verse, it says, according to the prince of the power of the air, Satan. He's orchestrated and leading this thing. You say, well, come on, man, you're getting weird on me right now. No, I'm not, because just take a look at what our world looks like right now. 50 years ago, you tell me if it looks like the same it does today. Look at our TV shows and the things they show on TV and they allow on TV. Look at our movies. Listen to the music. Look what's going on all around and all the different things that are happening, the violence, the hatred, all the pain and suffering, the terrorism. All these different things, you think that's not being orchestrated by something evil? Yeah, it says the prince of the power of this air is orchestrating these things. And they're walking according to the course of this world. This is what they see. They don't know any better. This is the life. Everybody's flowing this way. This is the norm. And they're dry bones, and they're headed that direction. Verse 3, it says, among them we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging in the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. All they want is, hey, man, I just got to fill my desires, my flesh, what I want. We hear that a lot, man. You hear on TV, I hear Mayweather, the boxer. He's like, hey, it's about me first. The guy brushes his teeth for 10 minutes straight every single day. I don't know about you. I don't brush my teeth for 10 minutes, maybe like 9.5 minutes, but 10 minutes straight, he brushes his teeth straight. But he said in an interview one time, it's about me first. And that's what life tells us. You got to take care of you first. It's all about you. You are number one in your life, and you need to look for you first. And that's what the scripture is saying, is that they indulge in their flesh and their desires are for their flesh. It's all about them. But he says there at the end of that verse, whereby nature, children of wrath. Wrath. What are you talking about, wrath? What do you mean by wrath? Well, the Bible says, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Meaning, I don't want your Jesus. I don't want your God. I don't want to listen to it. Don't tell me about it. Don't speak to me about it. I don't want to hear anything about that. I'm pushing it away. And it says God's wrath is against those kind of people. He's not saying, you know what, I just don't like you and I hate you because I don't like the way you look, the way you smell, the way you act. No, it's because you willfully say, I don't want that. And he has to put his wrath upon that because sin can't enter into his presence. What's the wrath of God? It's separation from him. Eternal separation from him, which is a place called, what a lot of people don't like to say, hell. There's two places that everybody goes when they die, heaven and hell. The one place you don't want to go is hell. A lot of people say, hey, I'm going to go with my buddies and I'm going to rock all day long, all the rockers. No, you ain't. You don't want to go there. If there's anything I can do and plead with you today, this morning, is don't think that that place is going to be a lot of fun. It's not. It's hell for a reason. And the description in the Bible is scary and you don't want to go to that place. You want to go to a place called heaven. And the thing is, so many people are just going according to the course of this world. They're being led in by the one that's kind of orchestrating it all, the prince of the power of the air. This is a person that is dead in their trespasses and sin, their dry bones. And some might say, I don't want that. walking according to the prince of the power of the air. I don't want that. That's not what I want, Joaquin. That's not. I'm not trying to follow that dude. Maybe I don't know any better. Well, let me just say, Satan doesn't play by the rules. Look, we have a message here today. This is the message we always speak here from this church. It's a message of hope. It's called the gospel. It's the good news that Jesus saves. He can save you from that. He can change those bones into living bones and give them life. That's the message that we preach here, and it's a real message. But like I said, Satan doesn't play by the rules. Turn with me once again. You guys are going to have to get used to your Bible. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians. It's close to Ephesians. Let's go backwards a little bit if you're still in Ephesians. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Satan doesn't play by the rules, like I said. And here in verse 3, it says this. This is Paul speaking. He said, "But even if our gospel is veiled," or another word for veiled, "hidden, it is hidden to those who are perishing." Verse 4, it says, why is it hidden? He's hiding it. I don't want them to hear the truth. And what does he do? And how does he do that? The enemy. He says, "Whose mind the God of this age has blinded." The God of this age is talking about Satan. "Has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them." He's doing everything he can to prevent the gospel, the light of Jesus Christ, shining into your life. Oh, dry bones. That's what he's trying to do. He's trying to do everything he can to prevent you from seeing this. He's blinding the minds. He's doing this. What does that word blinded mean? I looked it up and it says to blur the mental discernment, darken the mind. Blur it. Oh, I can't see. I can't comprehend. I can't compute. I don't know what's going on. I just know this is the way I should be going. Don't look at the Lord. Don't look at Christ. He wants to blind you. Don't believe that guy up there. He keeps putting his hand in his pocket, and I don't know why I keep doing that. He don't know what he's saying. He's just some dude. But he's blinding their minds and not allowing them to see the truth. My brother Gary, he's here this morning too. I asked him if I could do this, so he's aware of this. My brother Gary was dry bones. He was dry bones. My brother Gary, before we would come over the house, me and my kids, we would come over the house and we'd come like maybe on Easter or Christmas, and he was never there because he knew we were coming. He didn't want to be there. He knew we were Christians. He didn't want to be there. If we did show up unexpectedly, he would go to his room and never come out. Didn't want to talk to us. Didn't want to know my kids. Didn't want to have nothing to do with us. Our brother was into drinking. He was an alcoholic. He was into drugs. He was in crazy relationships that were violent. He was in and out of jail all the time. He was doing all these things. He was constantly going in and out. And this is the kind of life. He never had a real home. He never really had a house over his head. His license was suspended, and he was still driving around doing all of his things. This is the kind of life. If there was anybody that had dry bones that was far from God, it was him. Because if you talked to him about the Lord, he would get so mad. He didn't want to hear about it. My mom would talk to him, and he'd just get mad. Mom, and there'd be an argument. And they start fighting. It's like, just telling you Jesus loves you. And he didn't want to have nothing to do with it. He pushed it away. My brother was dry bones. And we'll continue the story as we go on with this message. But just a little side note. You don't have to be that sinful to be dead, spiritually dead. There's no limits. It's sin that causes death. Not the level of sin, because a lot of people are doing well and are not like my brother at that time, living that kind of a crazy life, and that's so distant. And he took my ATM card. That just came to my mind. He took my ATM card. He went to the bar and he says, "Drinks are on," and he didn't say me, it's on my brother. And he limited it out. That's what he was doing. Dry as dry can be. He went in that direction. Your sin, you don't have to be like him. You can be physically healthy, financially good, having a blast, and that's Satan blinding the mind so you think you're okay. I'm all right. I'm living good. I don't live like the description of his brother. I'm doing fine. But in reality, you're spiritually dead. You're dry bones. And as the Bible said, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So God has a question for Ezekiel, verse 3 and 6. Back to Ezekiel chapter 37, if you're not there. Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 3, it says, "And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord, you know. Again he said to me, Prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God to these bones, Surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And I will put sinew on you, and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord." God asked, "Can these bones live?" Let me just tell you how I would respond. No. No, they can't live. They're bones. They're dead. They're bones, but they're dry bones, and they've been in that condition for a long time. There's no way these bones can live. And to be honest with you, that's how I thought towards my brother Gary. I said, there is no way my brother will become a Christian, he'll ever get saved. There's no way. I mean, I didn't have a relationship with him. The only time I had a real relationship with him is when I was partying and I was with him. But when I became a Christian, it was just cut off. He didn't want to have nothing to do with me. I thought, there's just no way. And I'll be honest, I thought that. My brother will never get saved. My brother will never be a Christian. As much as I would pray to the Lord and ask for mercy that he would save him, I just thought, I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think that'll ever happen with my brother. But as Ezekiel said there in that portion, verse 3, he said, "O Lord God, you know." When he asked him the question, "Can these bones live?" "You know, Lord." See, there's one thing I know about the Lord is this, that he's patient. As my old pastor, John Mills, used to say, he's long-suffering. He would do it just like that, and I loved it. He's so patient, and he's not willing that any should perish, but all to come to repentance. That's God. He's not like saying, you know what, I want these people to go to hell, I want to condemn them. No, he's long-suffering, and he's patient, and he's not willing that any should perish, but all to come to repentance. That's his heart's desire. That's God's desire for you and desire for me. In Ezekiel chapter 33, a couple chapters back, you don't have to turn there, but this is what he also said. He said, "God said, as I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn from your evil ways." The Lord's heart's desire is he has no pleasure in the death of the wicked, and he's not willing that any should perish, but all to come to repentance. That's the Lord's heart. That's his desire. And when you look at somebody that looks hopeless and they're dry as dry can be bones, and you say, there's no hope. But you know what? God's desire is that they do live, that they do repent, that they do get right with him. That's his desire. That's the good news about this. Because sometimes you look at people and you say, there's just no way. There's just no way, as I thought about my brother. And as the Lord told Ezekiel to prophesy to these bones that there is hope and there's a future for them, and he's going to pour out his spirit on them, another little thing for us is in the same way we are to share with those around us about the hope. Even with the ones that look bleak and there's no way that God can, there's no way they can get saved in our eyes, we need to share with them and tell them. Because God told Ezekiel to do that, we should be doing the same thing. So the first person is dry bones, spiritually dead. Gloom and doom. Whew. Let's get past that one. Let's get to another one. The second type of person is the one who has the appearance of life. Verse 7 through 8, it says this. "So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise and a sound, and there was a noise, and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. And indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them." The bones came together, right? I'm not going to sing that song, the thigh bone connected to the knee. You know, I'm not going to sing it. But they came together, and they all attached. And the tendons and the muscles and the flesh and the skin come on these bones, and they have the appearance of life in them. Hey, everything came together. It must be life in them. But as it says, there was no breath in them. Man, you look at people like this, you go, man, it looks like there's something going on, man. There's something exciting. There's a change going on in their life, man. Maybe there's some hope. Maybe something's going to take place because all of a sudden now there's skin and tendons and muscles upon these bones. Look, something's happening and you get all excited. But then you notice that there's no breath in them. And that word breath also means spirit. No spirit in them. There are many that have the appearance of being a Christian, but there is no spirit in them. They act, they look, they talk like they are Christians. I'm not going to do it Stephen Anderson Christianese, but he used to always laugh when I used to talk like that. But they have the appearance of looking like Christians. They act, they talk, they come to church regularly. And why wouldn't they come to church? I mean, when you come to church, you find people that love on you and care about you and encourage you and pray for you and tell you good things and help you out. And there's all kinds of things that you benefit when you come to church. Why wouldn't they come to church? You get free donuts. You get everything. I mean, why wouldn't you come to church? They have the appearance of being a Christian, but there is no spirit in them. They're still dead. They're still spiritually dead. And out of the 20 years that I've been a Christian, I've seen these kind of people come through, have the appearance of being a Christian, and they last for days, maybe weeks, maybe months, maybe even years. But eventually they fall away and leave because they can't keep up with their image of being a Christian. Why? There's no spirit in them. There's no breath in them. It's hard to kind of act like something when you're really not that person. I could come up here and say, you know what, I'm buff. But you guys are going to say, no, you ain't. You ain't got no muscles. The shirt's baggy and it's flopping around. You ain't got... But I can act like I am all day. I know this guy at work, and my brother knows exactly what I'm talking about. He walks like this all the time. All day he walks like that. Gary knows exactly what I'm talking about. This one dude, and he looked like he's buff. But he ain't buff. He ain't buff at all. I can act like this all day, but I don't. If I'm not that, that's not what I am. And that's the same thing with these people. You can have the appearance of being a Christian, but there's no spirit in them. They're still spiritually dead. And last week, Tim talked about this verse, and this is what it talks about. 1 John 2:19, you don't have to turn there. It says, they went out from us, speaking about people that have the appearance of being Christians. They went out from us, but they were not really of us. For if they had been of us, they would have remained with us. But they went out so that it would be shown that they are not of us. Reality set. Obviously, they couldn't hang with it and keep the image for so long, and they walked away. They had the appearance of being a Christian, but there was no spirit in them. And that was my brother Gary. One time he comes home from jail. He was in jail and he gets out of jail. And my mom calls me up. Joaquin, what's up? Gary said he became a Christian. I'm like, no way. Really? Awesome. She's like, yeah, he's a Christian now. So I was so excited. And so the pastor of our church found out about it. And he's like, what? You know, cool. So Sunday morning he's like, hey, Gary, come here. Gary's like, oh man, I got to go up in front of the church. Come up here, tell him what happened to you in jail. Hey man, you know, and he tells him he becomes a Christian. He got saved and he gave his, what took place, I can't remember, but he talked about it there in front of the whole church and everybody heard it. Oh man, we were excited. And it wasn't long after that, I never seen Gary again at church. Gone. Left again. He had the appearance of being a Christian, but there was no spirit in him. And he walked away and he was still spiritually dead. The third and last person is the one that has that the Lord breathed into. Verse 9 through 14. Also he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet in an exceeding great army. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say our bones are dry, and our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into a land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves, and I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live. And I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord, for I have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord. What a wonderful future that awaits Israel. He's going to pour out His Spirit upon them and bring them back to their land, and they will believe in Jesus as the Messiah. See, right now, Israel, the Jews, don't believe Jesus is the Messiah. Maybe some do, but majority of them don't believe that. And someday God promised He's going to bring them back to their land and pour His Spirit back into them, and they're going to believe. That's a glorious, wonderful thing that's going to take place, and it will take place someday. They became a nation again, and when? In 1948. So it's already starting to happen and come together. God's about to do something like that. So that's what God was talking about here. And so we're talking about the third person now. So the first one we had was the one with dry bones. And they represented death, spiritual death. They were far away from the Lord. They don't want to have nothing to do with God. Don't talk to me about Jesus. I don't want to hear it. Spiritually dead, dry bones. Doesn't look like there's any hope for those. Then you have the bones being covered with tendons, muscles, flesh, and skin, which have the appearance of life or the appearance of being a Christian, but they're still dead spiritually. Hey, they look, they act, they talk, they come, they dress, they wear nice shirts and jeans, they look great, but they're not, they don't have the Spirit in them, and they're not Christians. But it wasn't until He breathed on them that they received life. Remember that word breath means spirit as well. And you're not a Christian, saved, born again, regenerated until the Spirit comes inside you. That's when it takes place. That's when the transformation takes place. In John 20:22, Jesus breathed on His disciples and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." That's your guarantee that you're a Christian, is when the Holy Spirit is in you. Turn with me to Ephesians again. So it should be easy because you were just there. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. It says this. This is that evidence that I'm telling you that when the Spirit's in you, that's the evidence, that's the guarantee. It says, "In Him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth," the gospel of your salvation, this message that we give always from here, from this pulpit, "the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory." That's your seal. That's your guarantee when the Spirit of God is inside of you. That's it. That's when you know that you're saved. That's when a person is a guarantee. They have the inheritance coming to them, due them, which is heaven, awaits them someday. The evidence of this is there found in 2 Corinthians 5:17. You don't have to turn there. Some of you know this verse. It says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." That's the evidence right there. That's the work of the Holy Spirit changing you day by day. See, the things you used to do, He said, those things will pass away. But behold, all things have become new. I don't know how it works. I know it's the Spirit of God because we don't see the wind and the same thing. I don't know how it moves things around because I can't see the wind, but I know it's doing something. And the same thing with the Spirit. It does something in someone's life when it comes in and it changes them. See, when the Spirit came inside of me, I was a guy similar to my brother doing the same things. And when He came to my life, it just changed my whole way of thinking and my desires. It changed. And some of you say, "Well, that doesn't work for me. That didn't work for me," because the Spirit doesn't live inside of you. You got to cry out to God and say, "Come inside of me and change me. I want you. I surrender my life to you." And when He came in, He changed my desires. I used to live this certain way. I used to think this certain way. All I thought about was Joaquin and what I could do and how I can benefit. And He changed all that. And now my whole thought and pattern has changed towards Him and living for Him. It's crazy. If you listen to the things that go through my mind and the things I'm saying underneath my breath, you think I'm a loony talking to myself all the time. I ask the Lord for help a lot. I have a conversation with Him all day. Work is crazy right now. I'm talking to Him. "Lord, help me. Give me wisdom. Help me not to punch that dude because he's making me mad, you know, with things like that. But I'm just being real. I have a conversation with the Lord and I'm straight with them because I want to be close to him. I don't want to fall into things. And that's the Spirit of God constantly changing and transforming me into his image. That's the work of him. And we can be confident in the work of the Holy Spirit when you get saved. Sometimes people say, you know, it doesn't work for me. No, you can be confident because the Bible says this, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. What does that mean? When Jesus comes to take his church home. He's going to return someday. There'll be a trumpet. There'll be a sound. And it's going to blow. And all of a sudden, the dead in Christ will rise first. And we are here. We'll meet them in the air and be with Christ. That's crazy. That seems like a movie. But I don't know. It's in the scriptures and I believe it. It's God's word. And I think if that day comes, I want to be with those people. I want to be with the church and headed into that direction. And so when it says he's going to complete that work until Jesus Christ, he's constantly going to be working in your life. You give your life to him, you surrender, don't worry about how it works out. He knows how to work it out. Like that illustration, you know, when you go fishing, some of you are fishermen in here, and you go fishing, you go out there, and you fish, you catch a fish, does it come in all filleted and gutted and cleaned up right when you got it on the hook? Oh, wow, it's already ready to put on the barbecue. No, it never does. It comes like a fish and it's flopping around, and you got to hold it so you don't lose it. And it takes time to clean it and gut it out and get it ready and prepared for that. And that's what the Lord does. He'll take you. All he wants is just the way you are. He pulls you right in and he knows how to clean you out, clean all the junk out and put you on the barbecue. And he knows exactly what to do. That's the Lord. My brother, who at one point was dry bones, spiritually dead, then had the appearance of being a Christian, still spiritually dead. And then his last time in jail, he goes to jail. And he's in there. And he's upset about everything because he's in jail again. Who likes to go to jail? It happens that the guy underneath him, underneath his bunk, was a Christian. And my brother kind of overheard him. I think he sparked up a conversation with him and began to talk to him. And the guy was talking to him about the Lord. And my brother said, well, why are you even in here? He says, because when I was out, I had a warrant for my arrest. And I was running from the police. But I got saved. I became a Christian. And as I became a Christian, I got involved in the church. And as I was getting involved in the church, they wanted me to get into ministry. Because God was just doing things through his life. And he said, whoa, 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 time out. Hold up. I have a warrant for my arrest. I need to turn myself in. And so he did. He turned himself in. And he went back and he's serving his time. But it so happened he was the guy underneath my brother's bunk. And that guy began to witness to my brother. Somehow, I don't know this part, but he got the book Case for Christ, my brother Gary. And if you haven't read that and you're doubting Christ and you're not sure about him, it's a great book written by Lee Strobel, Case for Christ. My brother got it. It's like 300 pages. I got it home, so I looked before I came, so I had accurate 270. Okay. It was that many pages, and he said he read it in a few days. He couldn't put it down because he just saw the evidence of Christ that he was real and he's alive and he saw it. And this guy that wrote that book was trying to prove that there was no Jesus. He tried so hard to prove. He said, I'm going to go out and prove there's not a Jesus. And what happened? It got him saved. It converted him to Jesus Christ. And he realized there was a Jesus and he needed to surrender his life to him. And my brother did that. He came out and he told us that he was a Christian. He was saved. And I'll be honest, I was like, I'm going to be a little leery this time, bro. I'm going to wait and watch. 6.5 years later, he still loves the Lord. He got a beautiful wife and a beautiful daughter. He has a son and grandkids. The Lord's blessed him. And the Lord's taking care of him. And he still, to this day, he depends on the Lord. He says, God, you got to help me every single day because it's not easy. We all know as Christians, we're faced with so many different things. But can dry bones turn and have life? Can they live? My brother, he's living now. He loves the Lord. It's the work of the Holy Spirit that changes the person. And that's what changed my brother Gary. I can't do it. Only God can. How do I get the Holy Spirit? How do I get saved? You know, you might ask that question. How does that happen? I want that. You know, I prayed the prayer a million times, but I seem to find myself going right back to that lifestyle. I seem to find myself doing those things again. How do I get the Holy Spirit inside? I want that. I want to be born again. I want to be saved. I want to be a new creation in Christ. How do I get that, Joaquin? Like the nation of Israel realized in verse 11 back there, you guys don't have to turn there because I think you're still in Ephesians, but back there in Ezekiel 37, verse 11, they said this. This is what they said. They said, our bones are dry. Our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. They were in captivity. They thought they were a done deal. It's over. There's no hope. They were broken. And when we come like Israel, broken and realizing you're hopeless, empty, you can't do nothing to gain God's favor. You can't get His attention, no way, because you're not good enough. You have to know this, that our righteousness, there's none righteous, no, not one, the Bible says. And it says our righteousness is as filthy rags. We can't do nothing to gain His attention. We can't do nothing good enough to make Him say, you know what, you're good enough. I know you didn't trust in me, you didn't believe, but you're such a good person. Come. No. The wages of sin is death. There's no way He's going to allow sin. It has to be dealt with. Sin has to be dealt with. And when you realize your whole life revolved around you, and you have been chasing and looking for purpose in your life, and you realize that that void in your life has never been filled. And right now, you probably understand exactly what I'm saying. All your life, you've been sitting there searching for something. I'm going to try this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to get into that. That's going to fill me. I'm going to feel good about myself. And you do it. It does feel good because it's not. Who doesn't like to go to Hawaii? Oh, yeah. You come home and it's reality again. Oh, I get a new car. Oh, the smell of the new car. Yeah, drive down the road. Go fast. But it all of a sudden, it smells. You go in my car, it stinks. It gets old and smells and it's no good anymore. It's not there anymore. And it doesn't fulfill. It doesn't fill. And then you find out, man, there must be a void in my life. There's something missing. There has to be something missing. Well, I'm here this morning to tell you loud and clearly that void is Jesus. He's the filler of that void. He's the one that could do that. And just like the children of Israel, when they were broken and they were empty and they found themselves in that place where nothing worked, if you find yourself in that same spot this morning, you say, I'm broken. I know I need I'm empty. I feel that void in my life. I can relate to what you're saying right now, Joaquin. Psalms 51:17, God said this. He says, that a broken and contrite heart, these, O God, you will not despise. That's good news. You get to that point where you say, you know what? I'm broken, man. I've tried everything and nothing seems to fill me up, satisfy me. I have a void. And God says, if you're broken like that and contrite, I will not despise you. I'll listen to you. I'll pay attention to what you're saying. You realize you have a void in your life and you're broken. Cry out to God and He will hear your cry and fill that void in your life. And like I said earlier, the void filler is Jesus. John 6:35 says this. This is cool. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger. And he who believes in me shall never thirst. That's the void filler. Man, do you ever feel like, man, I want something to fulfill my life? It's Jesus. He says, I will give you that bread of life. And if you come to me, you'll never hunger. If you believe in me, you'll never thirst. Meaning you're never going to go out and try to find something better because you're never going to find anything better than Him. That's what happened when I got saved. There's nothing greater than Jesus in my life. Look, I tried a lot of different things. I was just as radical and as crazy as you are or you were. And I tried them all. None of them seemed to just get me there. Matter of fact, when I get home, I just felt sick because I was doing whatever I was doing the night before and I was throwing up and hangover for days or whatever, or felt guilty running from this person, running from that person, getting in fights, broken this, broken that. My friend got stabbed 7 times, almost lost him. All kinds of different things. It doesn't seem like that was too fulfilling to me. And I tried all those things. When I found Jesus, that void was filled. That's the best thing that happened in my life. And I thank God He came into my life and He filled it. So when you're broken and contrite and you cry out to God, God will come and fill you with His Spirit. That's the gospel, the good news. And it's good news. The gospel means good news. It's good news. That Jesus died for our sins and He was buried and He rose again. Talks about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He died for your sins. He died for you. Even though you were sinning, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Even in the midst of your sin, even in the things you were doing that were totally wrong, He still died for you. Why? For God so loved the world. So loved the world. Not loved. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. He loves you. He loves you here this morning. He's crazy about you. So crazy about you, He'll give up His own Son for you so that He would take the penalty in your place. What you deserve, what you should have, what should have took place with you, He took it. And He took your place. So those dry bones can live. Amen. They can live. They can resurrect. They look hopeless. They look like there's no way. And eventually they can live because the Spirit of God comes inside of them. The Bible says it that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. It's that simple. If you're broken and you're contrite, you realize, man, I have a void in my life, Joaquin. I see that I am the dry bones. I see that I have the appearance of being a Christian. I need help. Here today, this morning, you can give your life to Christ and cry out to Him and He'll hear you. Let's pray. You know, with your eyes closed and your head bowed, I'm going to ask you a question. As I went through this message and I shared, maybe God's speaking to your heart. Maybe He's revealed something to you this morning. You identified with dry bones. You identify with the appearance of being a Christian. You've seen that. You see that in your life and you say, man, that's me. That's me. And I definitely don't want to be that person that is spiritually dead. I want to have life. I want to have Jesus inside of my life. I want the Spirit of God to control my life. And God said Himself, if you're broken, if you realize you're in that spot, you realize that you have no hope and you need something bigger than you, and there's a void in your life, God said He'll come and fill it. He said you'll never hunger again. You'll never thirst again. Never. God said He'll do that for you. So if that's you today, this morning, if you feel like that's you this morning and you want to give your life to Christ, you want to be able to say, God, I need You this morning. I need You in my life. I want to fill that void. If that's you here this morning, I'm just going to ask you right where you're sitting, just raise your hand and I want to pray for you. Is there anybody here? Amen. Anybody else? You can put your hand down. Amen. Anybody else? Amen. Amen. Anybody else? Anybody else? That's you. You realize. Amen. In the back. I see you. Put your hand down. Anybody else? Amen. Anybody else? God's speaking to your heart. And dry bones can live. God promised one thing. Jesus said this, I come to give you life and life more abundantly. That's what He promises you. Is it going to be a perfect life? No, it's not going to be a perfect life, but you're going to lean and depend upon Him and He's going to help you through this life. But the most important thing is this, that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And you know you're going to heaven. I don't know about you, but I want to know I'm going to heaven. And this morning you have that opportunity to give your life to Christ. Anybody else? Anybody else? Last call. Amen in the back. Amen. I got you. Anybody else? You want to give your life to Christ. He loves you. He cares about you. Amen. Anybody else? Anybody else? I know the Lord's stirring up your hearts right now, and it's not me. Because if it's me convincing you or kind of persuading you, forget it. Let the Spirit of God speak to your heart and let Him change you. Because I can't change you. You'll have the appearance of being a Christian. You'll fall away. No. If God's speaking in your heart, respond to that call this morning. Last call. Anybody else want to give their life to Christ? Amen. Amen. Anybody else? Let me pray for you. I'm going to pray a prayer and you can repeat this after me. If you want to say it out loud, you can. Or you can say it, you know, without just say it in your mind. And it's a prayer that asking Jesus into your heart. And it goes like this. Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. And I realize that my life has a void. And all my life I've been searching for something. And I realize it's You, Jesus, that I need in my life. And I realize that You died for me, for my sins. You were buried and You rose again to conquer death so that I might live with You forever. Thank You for dying for me. Thank You for saving me. Come into my life. Fill me with Your Spirit. Lead me in my path so that I might honor You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Well, we're going to have communion as well. You know, the greatest thing about having communion after a message like that